this time, you're invited to turn to our scripture reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And hear now these words. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained to them, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon his sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks him and scours the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for my sheep. I have other sheep too who are not in the sheepfold, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life, so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also take it up again. For this is what my Father had commanded. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon-possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by demons. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? It was now winter, and Jesus was in the temple at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple walking through the sector known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surround him and ask, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus replied to them, I have already told you, and don't believe me. The proof is in the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one snatches them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Once again, the people picked up stones to stone him. Jesus asked, at my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? They replied, we're stoning you not for your good works, but for blasphemy. You are a mere man claiming to be God. Jesus replied, it is written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of his people, I say you are gods. And you know the scriptures cannot be altered. So those people who receive God's message are called gods. Why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me to do into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done, even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in my Father. And once again they tried to arrest him, but he got away and left them. He went beyond the Jordan River near the place where John was first baptizing, and stayed there a while. And many followed him. John didn't perform miraculous signs, they remarked to one another. But everything he has said about this man has come true. And many who were there believed in Jesus. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. Now, for the past few months, we've been making our way to the life of Jesus, and every so often, I will pick a text based on one of our beautiful stained glass windows, okay? I hope you all realize you have some of the prettiest windows in the Methodist churches I've been in. I remember back in December after our live nativity, my church members from their church came by, picked up the livestock, and she said, "Can I come inside and look?" And I said, "Well, sure." You know, I thought, "My goodness, you brought a donkey and sheep up here?" And like, "Yeah, you can come in and look around," you know. And one of the first things she said was, "Oh, my goodness, those windows are beautiful." Okay. So I don't know, Miss Maggie, who got the windows, but they are beautiful. And so this particular scripture is inspired by the window to my left. And you see Jesus with his sheep carrying a lamb in his arms. Now, Jesus was a carpenter. He worked with wood. But I think, though, that he worked a lot of odd-end jobs growing up, making ends meet. And I suspect that he had at least some experience helping out with sheep. Because he sounds very knowledgeable and familiar about how a shepherd works. Now he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must be a thief and a robber." Well, I mean, that's common sense. Now, if you came by a church one night and you saw somebody coming through the window into the sanctuary, you wouldn't think that must be the pastor. You wouldn't think that's the lay leader. You think, "Uh-oh, somebody's breaking into the church. They're coming through the window." Jesus says, "No, thieves and robbers, they come over the wall. They're sneaky. The one who comes through the gate, that's a shepherd." And talks about how the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and comes to him. In other words, the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out, for he has gathered his own flock. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now, I don't have sheep, but I have had my share of dogs, okay? So I'm a dog guy, so think of Old Yeller and Where the Red Fern Grows, and that's me. And I remember way back in 2014, I had went on a mission trip to Louisiana. So got back, and I remember pulling in the driveway and park, and there is Buddy. He was this Australian Shepherd, Blue Hillary had, and he was in the yard, and he was wagging that tail, and he was smiling. He was happy to see me. So I walked up to him, and then I realized, he's not chained up. He's out here running loose. I thought, "What's up with this?" And what happened was, my dad had him out in the back behind our house in this field, okay? And back then, I had this particular vehicle that you could hear coming from a distance, okay? We'll put it that way. It had a very unique sound to it, okay? It's not the one I have now. It was my Grand Marquis, and it had this little jingle to it, you know? And so here's Buddy, my dad, in the field behind our house in Calhoun. His ears perked up, and he just takes off running. What happened? He recognized my vehicle, the sound of it. He didn't see it, but he recognized it. He came running around and got in that front yard and sat where he usually sits out, and he was chained up. And so I thought he was chained up, and I got to him and realized, no, he wasn't. No, he just took off running. He recognized the sound of my vehicle. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. What about us this morning? Do we know the voice of our shepherd? I remember listening to a sermon by Mr. Charles Stanley. He used to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Atlanta. And talk about one time he was in Israel at a cafe there, a little restaurant. And there was a whale, and there was a shepherd and all his sheep. And then came along a second shepherd with his flock of sheep. And they were chit-chatting, and here's all these sheep just mingling together. And he thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a mess. Get this straightened out. But what happened? The first shepherd went to leave, and he whistled something. And what happened? All his sheep left and followed him, and the other shepherd's sheep stayed at the well. And Charles Sands said, and I thought to myself, Lord, those sheep aren't nearly as dumb as we are. He said, those sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Why don't we know the voice of our shepherd? And then notice it says that he calls his own sheep by name. Oh. You're not a number to God. He knows you by name. I think about how several times in John's gospel, that's a theme where he tells Simon, you're now Peter, the rock. Or in the next chapter, the scripture I use on All Saints Sunday, when he's at the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. And then here in a few weeks, I'll probably be using the scripture about how at the garden, you have Mary Magdalene weeping and crying, and she thinks she's talking to the gardener. Oh, Lord, said, tell me where you put his body at, and I'll go take care of him. Mary. He called her by name. And then, of course, when he stuck out his hand, say, Thomas, you can quit doubting. No. God calls us by name, just like a good shepherd calls us by name. And then it says, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. They won't follow a stranger. They will run for him because they don't know his voice. What about us? Are we following the right shepherd, or are we just following behind some stranger? I've never been so amazed in this past few years to see how many people will believe anything they read on Facebook and the internet. They believe anything. And they'll share a post and, or copy and paste, and they don't know who said it. Don't know who they are, and yet these same folks won't believe the words of Jesus. What's up with that? Now, unfortunately for Jesus, it says that the people didn't understand what he meant. Oh, so here's Jesus having a little lesson, and the folks are just kind of like, we're talking about Jesus. He says, well, let me try this again. He says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep didn't listen to them. Okay. Now, when he said the ones before me, he's not talking about the prophets. During this time, the Roman era, every so many years, you have a person come up and he would say, I am the Messiah. I am the one the prophets wrote about. It's me. I'm the one that set you free. And they would later revolt. And then if they got lucky, they got killed in battle. If they were not lucky, they got captured by the Romans, hauled off to Rome in the parade, and got executed there. And that happened to several folks before Jesus, and that happened to several folks after Jesus. And Jesus said, the ones who came before me, they were just thieves and robbers. They were just in for the money. The true sheep didn't listen to them. He said, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastors. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Of course, I'm thinking about how Jesus later on will say, no, I am the way and the truth and life. No man comes far except by me. He's the true gate. And he contrasts that, no, I'm the thief, the devil. Steal, kill, and destroy. The good shepherd, I come to give them a rich and satisfying life. And then he starts a whole motif about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I'm sure when they heard that, the first thing they thought of, the scripture we just read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And throughout scripture, there are several references to God being a shepherd. I'm going to read one more to you from Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with her young. And so when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he's tapping into some thoughts that Jewish people already had in their background, the idea that God is our shepherd. Listen to this. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And then he does a contrast. The hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks him, scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Okay, so you have a person who claims he's a prophet, whatever, doing for money. The devil comes along, and what does he do? When the going gets thick, he thins out. He's out the door. And the wolf attacks the sheep, scatters the flock. Jesus says, verse 14, on the other hand, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know my Father. He says, so I sacrifice my life for my sheep. In other words, when the wolf comes, the good shepherd takes on the wolf and is willing to lay down his life. He does it to protect his flock. Jesus said, I have other sheep. Two, they're not of this sheepfold, and I must bring them also. They'll listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock, one shepherd. And what he's telling me about that was, he said, I got my Jewish sheep over here, and then I got my non-Jewish sheep over here. But my goal is to be one flock and one shepherd. And now listen to these words as we get close to Easter here. The Father loves me. Why? Because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. So Jesus tells the listeners, let me tell you something. That wolf isn't going to take my life. He can't take it. I lay my life down. It's a gift. You can't accuse anyone of murdering Jesus because he wasn't murdered. He voluntarily laid down his life. He said, I laid down voluntarily, and because I laid it down, the Father has given me the power to take it back up again. Talking about his resurrection. And then John tells us, when the people heard this, they got into an argument. And one group said, well, this guy must be demon-possessed. Listen to all this crazy talk about being a shepherd and laying down his life and taking back up again. Another said, well, hold on a second. He don't sound like he's demon-possessed, but and besides, can a crazy man heal a blind person? And so John tells us that this is in the winter time of Hanukkah. And know that's when our Jewish friends light those candles. And the people come to him and says, Jesus, how long will you keep us in the suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. And so once again, Jesus talks about being a shepherd. He says, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is in the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. That sounds like what we learned last week, right, with Nicodemus. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believe him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hands. Think about that. Now, we get that insurance company that says you're in good hands, lost, say, right? Jesus says, well, his sheep, they are in his hands, and no one can snatch them away. Remember what Paul wrote in chapter 8 of Romans? How, what can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Not life, nor death, powers above, powers below, our fears for the day, our worries for tomorrow. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. When you stay in the hands of the Good Shepherd, no one can take you away from him. And then he says the words get him in trouble. The Father and I are one. Here Jesus is making a divine claim to deity. And when he says this, people pick up stones getting ready to kill him. So Jesus says, well, my Father's direction, I've done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? And they say, well, Jesus, we're not going to stone you for these good works, but we're going to stone you because of blasphemy. You are a mere man claiming to be God. And Jesus says, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. If I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am my Father. Sometimes in the Christian life, you hear folks say, it's all about faith, all about faith. And don't get me wrong, faith is important. But here Jesus tells his critics, says, hold on a second. Believe in the evidence of this work. When you see blind people being given their sight, when you see lame people get up and walk, when you see dead people come out of the tombs, that tells you God is at work bringing his creation back to the proper place it should be. And when you see those miraculous signs, that should tell you that I have come from the Father. He said, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done, even don't believe in me. In other words, he said, don't believe what I tell you, but believe in these miracles and ask yourself, how did that happen? And when you do that, it says, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am my Father. And it says, once again, they tried to arrest him, but he got away. And many followed him. John didn't perform miraculous signs, they remarked to one another. But everything he said about this man has come true. Oh, that's a reference to no John the Baptist, who's in that picture, stained glass window. John Baptist didn't make any miracles. But everything he said about Jesus came true. And here's the key verse. And many who were there believed in Jesus. So what about us this morning? Are we believing in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is your good shepherd? Or have you been following the wrong kind of shepherd? Lost folks in our society claim to be a shepherd and say, come follow me and do what I tell you to do. But they are the false shepherds. This is the true shepherd. Other folks are like the higher hand. They're just in it for the money. And then when things get thick, they disappear. Jesus wasn't in it for the money. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. And then Jesus says, those who are my sheep listen to my voice. Whose voices are you listening to this morning? Is it somebody from the radio or the internet or on TV, on the telephone? Who are you listening to? I want to encourage you this morning to kind of do a little spiritual checkup. And who are you listening to? You see, when you listen to those voices over here, you're going to be filled with confusion and fear and regret. But when you listen to the Good Shepherd, you're going to have clarity. You know where you're going. You're following Jesus. You won't be afraid. We just said this a little while ago. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. When you have Jesus the good shepherd, you have to fear what the world fears, that he's there protecting you. And then how much does he love his sheep? Well, we know from their parable, Jesus said he's not the shepherd who left 99 looking for his lost sheep, the one that went away from him. Bring him back. He is a seeking shepherd. And then more importantly, as we get towards Easter, this is the shepherd who loves his sheep so much, he's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. That is sacrificial love. The wolf shows up. He doesn't run off. Instead, he lays down his life as a sacrifice. And because he does that, the Father gives him the power to bring his life back up. Resurrection, Easter morning. So this morning, who is your shepherd? Are you following the good shepherd? Or are you following the wrong shepherd? Or maybe you got off the path a little bit and you're out in the woods somewhere and the good shepherd's coming towards you. My hope is for all of us, in this week to come and the weeks to come and towards Easter, if we look in our hearts and minds and souls and like, who am I listening to? Am I listening to the false shepherd, the fake shepherd, the hired hand? Or am I listening to the good shepherd? The good shepherd who loves me so much that he laid down his life for me to take it back up again. The one who came to give me life more abundantly. The good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. Thanks be to God. Amen.